This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt on the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin
and the ever-genial Franklin Proctor.
Ever-genial, I like that. Who's always trying to take over the show. I read on Twitter, you said yesterday, hosting the Garden Show.
I did, but I immediately, as James will attest in the next room, that James Patrick Dooley, he will attest that I quickly apologized and demoted myself to under-gardener.
Yes. And stay there for a little while.
I'm the sous chef of the garden. That's mm-hmm. all I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only good for one thing, giving out phone numbers.
Well, then.
Now, wait. I am good for other things. I'll tell you about what yesterday was all about.
Okay.
Yeah. It was Learn About Butterflies Day.
I didn't know that. That was like a national or international day.
Yeah, supposedly. Yeah.
Excellent.
Learn About Butterflies
Day. And you're dressed as a butterfly today.
I am in my daffodil yellow short sleeve, because I'm challenging Mother Nature, you know.
Go for it.
Quit all this crap. Come on, give us some warm stuff.
It'll come. It'll come.
And there's a lovely lady sitting opposite us.
We want to welcome.
More suitably introduce.
Nikki Jabour is with us. Welcome.
Thank you. Great
from,
to be here.
From Halifax.
All the way from Halifax. Yeah.
Wow. Great stuff.
Now, you host your own radio show in Halifax, don't you?
I do. We're going into our eighth year of the year-round vegetable gardener every Sunday.
Oh, excellent. So
good stuff.
So just for the listeners, that means Nikki's here and you're here for a little while. Maybe not the whole show, but maybe three quarters of it.
As long as you want me, I'm here.
Well, get those vegetable questions ready, because we got Nikki here, the expert, to help with answers.
All righty. I'm going to give the phone numbers and then get out of the way. 416-360-0740. That's for Toronto area callers. Then anywhere else in the province, it's toll free 1-866-740-4740. Oh, Canada blooms. Oh, it's up and running.
Can you hear it in my voice?
Yeah, you got my cold.
You know what? It's a tiring build. There's no question. Yep. It's, 6 days nonstop, 14 hours a day to build it. And it's built. And it opened yesterday to much fanfare and excitement and beauty and all that sort of important stuff. So that was great. But I think once the build was done, I woke up yesterday morning with this killer head cold. Yeah. I was like, my job is done. Now I can just go back to bed. But I'm not really back to bed. I'm here, and I'm actually at Canada Blooms. So a couple of announcements, one or two about Canada Blooms. Remember, you can get in, do the sneak peek with the early morning tours.
Huh.
Now, that's not every morning. Check the website, canadablooms.com. It's kind of cool because you get in at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful opportunity to take photographs, because there's nobody else there except you and your tour. You have a tour guide. The guide takes you around, gives you the backstory on a lot of the gardens, little information that you might not get otherwise. So it's a it's super popular. And if you want to get in on that, do book it through the canadablooms.com
website.
Yeah,
there is a cost to this, just to be up front.
Well, there's always a cost to get into Canada Blooms. Yeah. There's a slightly extra cost to join the early morning
tours. But it's worth it. I just did it.
Did you?
I did it an hour ago, and it blew my mind.
Yeah?
And the information that I never realized about it. Yeah.
We provide the tour guides with a whole bunch of information that you wouldn't know.
No, and it was amazing to see where some of the materials came from locally in Ontario and just details about the different gardens. It was amazing.
There you go.
Worthwhile.
There you go.
Definitely worthwhile.
Nikki says it's worthwhile.
Unsolicited testimonial right there. My gosh.
And if you're not an early morning person, this year we're doing an evening tour this coming Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be putting together a little seminar beforehand on container gardening, and then you're out into the gardens doing an evening tour. That starts at 6:30 this coming Wednesday. Again, you can book that online.
All right.
How fun is that? All right. I just want to make another couple of announcements that are not Canada Blooms announcements. One is Ed Lawrence is in the Toronto area with the Applewood Garden Club on March 20th, speaking about getting the bugs out. or gardening without pesticides. So Thursday, March 20th, 7 p.m., Lakeview Golf Course in Mississauga. Tickets are only $15, so you can reserve ahead or show up. But either way, you know Ed, like he's just a amazing font of information. I mean, he's kind of mind-boggling. Though I did beat him in a competition. We had Reach for the Treetops a couple of years ago.
I remember you bragging about this,
It was pretty fun. It was Dennis Flanagan, Paul Zammit, myself, and Ed challenged.
Is there a video of that anywhere?
I wish there was. There are some shots. Well, Mark DeZero was there. He might have done some video. Yeah, it was very funny. I mean, Dennis takes nothing seriously.
No.
And he kept bugging Paul, so Paul couldn't, you know, get in on the answers. And so Ed and I were like, you know, head-to-head on this, but I'm proud to say I beat that crap out of all of them.
You are hardly competitive.
Not me. No.
No.
Also, mark on your calendars Tuesday, April the 8th. I will be at the Lakefield Horticultural Society speaking on beauty and the eats, all about edible gardening mixed in with the ornamentals.
Love it.
Yeah, that's for many of us the best way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly if you're gardening strictly in rooftops and patios and balconies.
Yeah, there's a whole section in your book about rooftop gardening.
Yeah, just, I mean, you can grow plant, you can grow food anywhere.
Okay.
Anyway, there's no excuses.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'll tell you what, we'll go for a quick break and then Nikki's going to tell us a little more about her book and what you're doing at Canada Blooms.
Sounds great.
And then we'll take some questions.
Excellent. Okay, we'll be right back in just a couple of moments. But first, you and I have to do some exercises.
Maybe Nikki wants
so I'm gonna,
to get in with
I'm
this.
I'm going to stand
Maybe
up
Maybe I should
now.
Get my camera.
Yeah.
This is, I don't know where
I put it. Here we go. Yeah. Oh, yes.
And terrific. You know what? I have been taking my Sierra So very consistently. Would you shush? Nobody can hear me.
Oh.
You're making too much noise with all that exercising.
That's right.
Okay, so the reason he's exercising and the reason I am so pain-free is because we have been taking our Sierra Cell. It's a completely natural mineral supplement from the Sierra Mountains, actually. And it works. You know, no joints, no soreness, no creaks, no cracks. It works. Now, it doesn't work for everybody. There is a 14-day opportunity to see if it works for you. Full money-back guarantee. So for more information, sierrasil.ca or 1-877-JOINT-14 or pick up Sierrasil at many of your health food stores.
Yeah. Notice after you chastised me, I
got
went
quiet.
To my finger exercises. Yes.
I wasn't sure what he was doing over there.
Very powerful finger exercises. And that name is Sierrasil, Sierrasil.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than we do realize. And should little creatures become a big problem, well, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And Frank Proctor, the sous chef of the garden, forgot two important things. Our mantra,
yes.
Call early, call often, one question per call. And for first-time callers, let James Patrick Dooley know when you call in, and you shall receive this just before you hit the airwaves, and that means you've got your wings, garden wings.
Well,
see?
Yeah, but garden wings, butterfly wings, whatever the case may be.
Right. And Nikki's with us, Charlie's here, and the folks are calling in like crazy.
All right, well, let's maybe go to a caller, and then we're going to hear some more from Nikki about
her
book and what's going on at Canada Blooms.
Aubrey in Hamilton is on the line. Hello, and welcome to the show, Aubrey.
Good morning, Frank, Nikki. Welcome from Halifax, and good morning, Charlie.
Morning.
Reason for my call, first and foremost, I'd like to say thank you. I called about my mom's plumbago a couple of weeks back, and you advised the sticky sticks because of the little black flies were fantastic. So, again, thank you.
Excellent.
Second part of that is the plumbago now, what I'm finding, came to the house, and it has this, I won't say it's a powdery, it's almost like a spider web white film on the underside of the leaves. What is that?
Have you got a mag?
Causing some of the leaves to die off.
Yeah, and are they? When you look at the surface of the leaves, do they look a little almost like netted or granular in look?
Not the top surface. The bottom. It's like I'll say. It's almost, you know when you get those white powdery flakes of snow that we've seen over the last little while.
Well, yeah.
That's on the underside of just the leaves itself.
Okay, there is, it's not even an insect, it's a tiny, tiny microscopic spider called spider mite.
Okay.
And you'll never see them without a magnifying glass, but you will see their webbing. And the best way I find to see their webbing is put the plant between you and a window and look at where the leaf axle and the stems come together. You will see little tiny webs across that little distance there between leaves and stem. If you have spider mite, it's a bit of a problem because they're virtually impossible to really kill or eradicate.
Okay.
So that's what I would first suspect. But so that's the first thing to do. Figure out what it is. If it is spider mite, you do have to, you can use the soap and water, you know, the safer soap, or mix up the soap.
Right.
Follow the instructions. It's more than one spray, of course, waiting 7 days between each spray to eradicate not only the living spiders, but the eggs of the spiders. You also have pyrethrins, which is things like, I'm trying to think, Bug Be Gone or Trounce or any of those kinds of brands out there.
Right, I understand those ones, yes.
And again, they'll say on them whether it works for spider mite, and it'll give you very specific instructions on how to eradicate if it is spider mite, right? If it's more, it could be a mildew. I mean, it could be powdery mildew when you talk about sort of a white, fuzzy bit. So lots of sun for this plant.
Lots
of sun, cut it back. We're at that time of year where we're going to cut all our tropicals back and encourage new growth. Fertilizer.
I can start now. I heard that last week, yes. Once a month, correct?
Once a month, absolutely, in the growing season. And now it's March and spring is around the corner. Plants know it. They are responding. And yeah, do a little detective work. See if you can figure out what it is that's really causing that. And give us a call next week or whenever, just if you get a better sense of what it might be. And we're happy to see if we can figure out best steps.
Great. Thank you very much. I know that Nikki is going to speak about her book, and I'd just like to know if there's possibility to find out about the radio show, if I could pick it up online, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, absolutely, actually. Yeah, the Weekend Gardener airs, it airs live. You can go to the news957.com website. It's news957.com website. And we're going to start up again in late April. We go for 7 months a year, and then I take winter off. I go dormant in winter.
Just like there we go.
Most spring of my plants.
Morning, I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Oh, so Nikki, now that Aubrey brought that up, you are speaking today at Canada Blooms.
I am. I'm so excited. It's my third year at Canada Blooms. And I mean, to me, this is the kickoff to spring. I know it hasn't felt like it in Halifax and it hasn't felt like it here. But yeah, it's the official kickoff in my mind for spring. Yeah. So yeah, today at 1 p.m.
1 p.m. on the main stage.
Yes, on the Salon 102.
Oh, Salon 102.
Salon 102. Ooh, ooh.
Sounds like a salon, doesn't
it?
Oh, it's the parlor.
Posh, that is, my darling.
And then I'll hurry over to the Toronto Botanical Garden booth and do a book signing. So.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Yeah, because you've got books with you.
There's my two titles are there.
That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah. Do you know what we got to do? We got to take a little break here and come back, and then I promise we'll talk about Nikki's book. Honestly, we weren't just kidding. We're really going to get you on the air to talk about the book. Okay, back in just a couple of moments here at AM 740, the Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin and Nikki.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, storks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor here, and I just got to share this with you. It's taken me all my powers to keep Charlie in the studio. As we're sitting in our studios, a mounted police officer just rode by.
Two of them.
And Charlie, two of them, yeah. And Charlie wanted to grab a bag and go and get some manure. And I said, no, we got to keep doing the show.
Even Nikki wanted to come with me.
I know.
We were going to fight for
these,
that.
These gardeners, they were just mad for this manure. Anyway, we're having a special guest today.
We are.
Reintroduce Nikki and
Nikki
the reason
Chubb, we're a special guest visiting from Halifax.
Yes.
Going to be at Canada Blooms this afternoon at 1 o'clock in Salon 102, speaking on...
groundbreaking food gardens.
There you go. And that's the name of your newest book.
It is. Yeah, 73 plans that'll change the way you grow your garden.
So 73 plans for everybody. Depending on what your growing circumstances are.
Yeah, basically, the publisher gave me, you know, just said, do what you like in terms of finding, you know, who you want to feature in the book. So I basically stalked, would be the correct word, a bunch of gardeners and garden writers and professionals and botanical gardens and any bloggers, anybody I could think of whose work I've admired. And I squeezed a plan out of them and techniques and ideas and how do they grow and what varieties do they love? Because I'm always curious what other people like to grow. What's your favorite tomato or things like this? So I gathered all that information over 2.5 years. And this is the end result.
Very cool. So, I mean, it runs the gamut. You've got gardens for, like, rooftop gardens.
Yeah, people, if they have a condo and have no room at all, yeah, you could do vertical gardening. You could do, you know, container gardening. And one of the designs for, a condo balcony has even a beautiful little arch, a garden arch, with squash climbing up it. And, but, of course, you could switch that out and grow cucumbers.
Sure.
So, you know, it's very versatile, yeah.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, depending on where you're growing. And obviously, food gardening typically requires quite a bit of sun.
Yes, yeah. And although Marjorie, I think everybody knows Marjorie Harrison here in this part of the world. I worship her, and she knows that, of course. But she gave me a beautiful plan for, because her yard in Toronto,
it's
every
shade.
Year, yeah, shade more and more over the past couple decades. So she gave me a plan that's beautiful, but it's for a partially shaded vegetable garden.
Right.
So you concentrate on leafy greens and things like beets, leafy root crops and herbs. And she included all these wonderful flagstones that will then reflect heat and light back to the plant. So a clever little technique there.
Yeah, to help with it.
Yeah,
exactly. And many of the leafy greens, as you point out, actually prefer a little bit of shade.
They do.
Because that way they won't bolt or go to flower so quickly. So it's cooler in the shade, and many of the plants will continue to produce what we're growing them for longer, which can be a good thing.
And might I say, Nikki, the book is beautifully illustrated.
Oh, thanks. I had nothing to do with that.
tons of color. I mean, wow. Yeah. Really. Yeah. And it's not a small book. No. It's a rather good-sized book.
Hefty. Yeah. And clearly lots of great ideas in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun. It was really fun to write. And you know, my goal is to, you know, just like I say, give a lot of ideas, techniques, and hopefully inspiration to people. And I know that I'm starting to change my own garden now because I'm taking a little bit from this plan and that plan and this idea and kind of shifting my own garden this spring.
Because we're all learning, right?
All the time.
Do we ever know it all? Not.
I screw up constantly, and that's how I learn.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Well, there you go.
There you are.
As opposed, I never learn from my mistakes. That's my problem. Well, I think we better maybe take a call.
Let's,
do you think?
And our next caller is Carrie from Richmond Hill, who is calling about potatoes. So I think we're going to let... see if this is something Nikki might want to get involved.
Alrighty.
If I don't know the answer, I'll just make it up.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Carrie.
Pretty much the way.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi there. I have a bag of potatoes every year that go to seed. Now, I've planted them every year, and I've only had them once flower, and that's when I got a bountiful supply of potatoes in the fall. Now, I was wondering, does your guest speaker have any ideas of what time I should be planting them, as soon as possible, or wait, or maybe get a bushel basket and throw some dirt in, then the potatoes, more dirt, and then plant that so I, you know, keep them in organized?
Yeah, well, you know, I would still wait. It's a little bit early, unfortunately.
Oh, no, we've got snow here.
Yeah. And I mean, if you had a cold frame, I certainly have done potatoes in a cold frame nice and early, and then I'm harvesting them in late May.
Okay,
but in an open garden, you're going to have to wait until your soil's, you know, the snow's gone.
Workable. Once, though. Is that a different bag than I bought?
It could be the variety. I mean, I would definitely buy them from a garden center. You know, oftentimes the grocery store potatoes, even if they're organic, they've been treated, and they're just not going to sprout as well for you.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, and always make sure you're changing the place from year to year as well. You want to crop rotate potatoes. That's one of the essentials for potatoes. And
I just don't want to waste them, so I don't care whether or not. I'm not going to go to any fancy market to get them. I'm just, you know, it's a bag of potatoes. I'm surprised that the Irish had a potato famine because, you know, all they needed to do is go underneath my kitchen sink.
I think that happens to all of us. You know, and if you just want to stick some in a big barrel or a big container, I would not then move them out of that. I would just grow them in that. Just put like three in a big container and let them grow.
Great.
And, you know, in about 2 months, 2.5 months, depending on the variety, you'll be able to harvest some, you know, some potatoes from that.
I thank you.
Yeah. Good luck.
And welcome to Toronto.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye then.
Thanks, Carrie. Hey, interesting calls already. And gee whiz, shall we progress?
Sure.
Ladies. All right.
Ladies.
Donna in Scarborough. Hello, Donna. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. I really enjoy your show. I listen to it every week.
Wonderful.
I have just a small problem. When the ice was here and we had to get the salt to put on the land, they ran out of salt, so I went and got some sand. Now I'm stuck with two bags of sand. It says on the bag that it's natural and environmentally friendly. I was wondering if I could sort of scattered around the garden and the lawn to get rid of the sand.
I don't think it would hurt anything if you did it very thinly.
Well,
but
so hold on. The bags you've got are bags of just sand.
Just sand.
Nothing else in there.
And it says natural and environmentally friendly.
And it's not traction sand with the big chunks.
Yeah, it is traction sand.
Okay.
And traction sand.
What's the quality of your soil? Is your soil tend to be on the sandy or does it tend to be clay?
It's clay.
Okay, perfect. You know what? You go around and you broadcast that sand on the lawn, on the garden, not a problem. It will help with...
Perfect. I got two bags of sand, and hopefully we don't need them next year.
That's right. Yeah, no, sand will always help with... You need that drainage, and clay is one of those poorly drained soils, so
yeah,
sand will help.
Yeah, well, I'm in Scarborough, so it's clay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of Scarborough is.
So it's Nova Scotia.
Is it? Yeah, I garden on a lot of clay as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for calling. All right. Gosh, interesting questions coming in like mad. Let's bolt to Bolton and welcome a first-time caller, Mary. Welcome to the show.
Hello. What an introduction.
Good morning. Welcome.
I listen to your show every week, but I had a hard time getting through this morning. Very busy.
We're getting to that time of year.
Well, your show is very popular, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, we had a resident rabbit all winter long. And it ate all the bark off my baby peach trees and cherry trees and apple trees. And I'm just wondering if they're going to be lost or will they survive this?
Did it eat all the bark in a total circle around the base of the trees?
Yeah.
Bye-bye trees.
Yeah, so there's no bark left remaining on that?
Well, I mean, it's about 3/4 because the snow is so high that they were able to, you know, I don't even think they started right from the ground up because of the snow.
Sure.
The snow is covering maybe, you know, inches off the bottom.
It doesn't matter where on the actual stem that the bark is removed. The point that Nikki just made is if it's a complete ring and the bark has been removed all the way around the entire circumference of the stem of the tree, the trees will die.
Aww.
You might want to wait until the snow melts and you can get a better look at the damage.
Yeah. And well, one of them, I still have the receipt, so, you know, Glen Echo might take it back and give me another one. I'm not sure if that will be...
I do use the plastic protectors for the first 4 or 5 years with my fruit trees as well. That because we get a lot of we get everything, even porcupines peeling off the bark.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
We get mice and voles and moles and obviously rabbits in certain years. But once the bark when the outer bark has been removed in an entire ring, the plant will typically die. But do keep an eye on them. And if you are replanting fruit trees, as Nikki suggested, get those plastic spiral wrap.
They're like a dollar.
I figured that out now. I was just wondering if any chance that they would survive, you know, somehow or the other. They may. Who knows?
Well, like Charlie mentioned, if the bark's not eaten completely around, you know, fingers crossed. We'll keep our fingers crossed for you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. Good luck with that. Yeah,
okay.
No.
Don't be a stranger. Call again. All right. Very good. Golly, we've got Pamela online now from Toronto, probably just around the corner. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning, Frank and Charlie. I'm a first-time caller.
Get out the bell.
Wait a minute. There we go.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just wanted to talk about... I'm in a senior apartment building, actually in Burlington.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a little balcony, but I have a beautiful yellow hibiscus, which I brought in. And it's got beautiful big leaves and... Then it sort of bends over when it needs more water and tells me, so I do.
Perfect, yep, that's exactly right.
What do I do to get some lovely, more yellow hibiscuses on it? Because it just bloomed beautifully last summer.
Is it blooming now?
Five, and I wanted to give it some liquid or other kind of food, you know?
Yep.
I'm out of food.
Okay, great idea. What I would do is, you're absolutely right, we're at that time of year where days are getting longer, plants are responding. Perfect time to do some cutting back. Hibiscus are something that will often get too large over the summer for us to be able to bring them back in the fall. So now is the time to cut them back. Particularly if they're not blooming right now is a great time to do some pretty severe pruning. And you can start fertilizing once a month. I personally would just use an all-purpose flowering plant fertilizer. It would be a 15-30-15, perhaps. It might be a Miracle-Gro, whatever it is. It's just something that will encourage flowers. And come summer, that's when all those buds will form again. And as you haul that plant in next fall, it'll be covered in buds and blooms again, which will give you all that beauty all next winter. So good, easy to do. Just prune now and start fertilizing.
There you go.
Thanks,
good.
Pamela.
Thank you for calling, Pamela. Appreciate that. And you are listening, by the way, to AM 740 Zoomer Radio, direct and live from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village. And the Garden Show is on the air with Charlie Dobbin and our special guest,
Nikki Jabour.
Yeah, okay. Oh, onto the line again. We can get another call in before we have to take a little break here. Jane in Waterloo calling in. Hi, Jane. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question about poinsettias. So you probably thought you had heard the end of it. But I still have two and a half.
Uh-huh.
And my husband thinks that I'm watering them, and I think that he's watering them because he's our resident plant person.
I see.
And sometimes they just don't look very happy. I was wondering if it was possible to set up a wicking system so that they would, you know, we could just put water in the pot. They would maybe sit up on something, and there would be a wick that would go up through the pot, and that would, we could maybe just do them once a week or something like that.
So right now you think that probably with both of you hovering, you might be overwatering?
No.
No?
Neither of us is doing anything.
Oh, I see.
At times.
Okay, so for many people that have good-looking, healthy poinsettias at this time of year, they think, oh, let's just keep this plant. It'll be bigger and better next Christmas if I look after it now. Number one, prune it back, because again, as I mentioned, it's all about pruning now for plants that are tropical and we want them to look good next winter. So some pruning is required. Lots of sun. Take it outside in the spring once we're frost-free. Start it in the shade. Move that plant, if you wish, into half sun, half shade for the summer. You can leave it in the pot. You can bury the pot in the garden, and it'll be a little green plant in your garden. All well and good. And then come late August, early September, pop it up out of the ground, scrub it, you know, soap it down, clean it up. Into the house, it'll be a house plant. But of course, to get it to turn red, we have to start doing the dark and the light. And that's the challenge and sort of the fun for a lot of people. But in terms of the wicking and self-watering, there are self-watering pots out there. You could put these plants into one of those kinds of pots. They're designed with, just as you say, a wick system and a reservoir below, and you can go away on holidays for 2 weeks and your plants do just fine.
Well, the one plant in particular, two of them are gifts and one I buy.
Mm-hmm.
But the largest one is in a, there are actually four plants in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
It's enormous. The plant is probably 12 to 14 inches across.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that we seem to have the most problem with.
But
my husband picks the pot up, and when it's too late, mm-hmm. he puts water in it. But by that time, sometimes, it's kind of almost too late because the petals start dropping.
Yeah, but so what I would say, yeah, and that's where that pruning comes in, because if you prune, then your new growth, which will be, you know.
Well, I'm not concerned about what I'm going to do now.
Okay.
I have actually pruned the large one, and it does have more leaves coming on it.
But
when we get them new, I'm so sad every year. This person gives us this pot every year, and we just never seem to be able to keep it looking good.
Often when they put four plants in one pot, though, when they often squish four plants in one pot, it's generally only meant to live for a short time because they're just always fighting for any little bits of soil and nutrients.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always see that as more of a two-month decoration.
Yeah, rather than a long term.
And then a composting opportunity.
Oh,
true.
<okay. laughs>
Because, no, Nikki's right. That pot is probably 90% roots in there.
Yeah.
So when you go to water, of course, the water will go through the bottom holes of the drainage pot into the saucer below, wait 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever available soil is in there will absorb water. But with that many plants in a pot, particularly if it's in the sun and the warmth and it's trying to grow, you might need to, at this time of year, be watering every 2 or 3 days.
I'd almost pull it apart and take the four plants
you
out
could.
And put them in their own pot. That's the only thing that's really going to make them happy without being intensive on it all the time.
That's right. To really have them thrive, they need to be separated, which you could do now is a perfect time to do that. Repotting is best done in March.
Mm.
So that's an option as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that would mean that we would then have six.
Yes, it would. And I'm sorry. It's not my fault.
I think the key phrase, the key phrase learned there. Okay, Jane. Key phrase that we learned there was composting opportunity.
And, you know, and I'm going to, I stole that from Mark Cullen. Okay.
Oh, is that
Mark said that to me years ago, and I thought it was genius, so I always give him credit every time I use it.
Good enough. Good enough. Well, that's fair. That's fair. And to be fair to our sponsors, yes, we have to take a little bit of a break now. We're going to be coming back to welcome another first-time caller. But in the meantime, it is time once again for Frank to get busy doing exercises while Charlie extols the virtues of Sierra Sil. I'm doing knee bends this time with the help of hanging onto the desk.
And he's not whining or screaming in pain. No.
He's quite graceful, actually.
No. Not bad.
It's nice.
Both Frank and I, his looks like pliés. It's the ballet.
Yeah.
It's the butterfly shirt that's doing it, actually. Frank is doing exercises and smiling.
And smiling.
And not screaming in pain because he's been taking his Sierra Sil regularly, as I have, which was very important when it came to doing the kind of work we were doing at Canada Blooms over the last few weeks. So three little pills every day, completely natural mineral supplement, which somehow magically takes any joint pain away. And you can learn more about Sierra Sil at their website, sierrasil.ca. Call them for more information, 1-877-JOINT-14, or pick up Sierra Sil at your local health food store.
I have wrapped up my exercises for the morning, and all that left for me to do is to give you the Sierra Sil name itself, yes. S-I-E-R-R-A-S-I-L.
Don't change the radio station. Just because the weather changes, garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And your affable, I was going to say co-host. You see, I almost
got myself. No, you can be a co-host.
Could I?
Yeah.
Oh.
As long as you put out that, you know, you're the undergardener.
Yes.
Capital U.
Reminding you of the phone numbers, we have a couple of lines open, actually. 416-360-0740 for Toronto area customers. And then anywhere else in the province, it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740.
And we have a special guest in the studio.
Yes.
Nikki Jabour is here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
I'm thrilled to be here. This is exciting.
It's fun.
Kind of fun,
it's so
huh?
much fun.
Well, and you do your radio show back in Halifax every Saturday?
Every Sunday from 10 to 12. But I'm on hiatus. I go dormant for the winter. Yeah. So.
So this is good. This is getting you ready to
it's
get
getting
back.
Getting me ready. Yeah.
When did you start up again?
I'll probably start up again in late April, right after Easter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Very good.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right. Sheila in Burlington.
Another first-time caller.
The bell must be hot by now.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. I love your show. I have a terrible squirrel problem, and I'd like to know how to protect my garden and lawn from the squirrels. I'm wondering if the things you put in the ground that emit a high-pitched sound will keep them away.
You know, that's a really good question. And luckily for me, we don't get a whole bunch of squirrels in the garden in Nova Scotia, but you guys have some big ones here. And every time I come to Toronto, they scare me a little bit. They're giant. I do know people who've tried those noise-emitting things you put in the ground with mixed results. And, I've used them myself for mice and moles and things. And again, it's kind of hit and miss. So I don't know, honestly, if those would do well for you. It's worth a shot if you already have some to put them up there. Depending what your plant materials are, I know with bulbs and things like that, I have often laid down chicken wire on top of my garden and then covered that with some mulch. So if the big squirrels are trying to dig in my garden or something, they can't get to the bulbs. So that works as well. It depends on the plants you're growing. Are they digging out your existing plants or what are they doing?
Well, last year they were sitting on my fence because I live in a townhouse.
Oh, yes.
And they sit on the fence. And what they did last year, they picked branches and little all the leaves off one side of my lilac bush and took the leaves off my rose bush, and they put them in the neighbor's barbecue.
Oh, how kind.
To
build
make
a
nest.
Wonderful.
And last time she had three sets of babies in her barbecue. So she got a new barbecue. She tried everything to keep them out of the barbecue.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Also, one thing you might try is you can get this invisible netting. It's called bird netting. And, even just leaving it on for a little while in spring, just so they might come back one or two times, and then they'll realize, we can't access these leaves so easily. Wrap your lilac in that, and that might help, in terms of not being able to pull off those leaves then and getting it through the netting. That might dissuade them enough that they'll go somewhere else and try to gather their leaves for a nest. nest.
The neighbor that's kitty corner to me, she feeds the bird.
Oh,
she has about three or four bird feeders, and I think they're going there to eat. Is that the problem?
Of course they are. It's very hard to keep squirrels out of a bird feeder. I know you can get squirrel-proof bird feeders, and I've had those, and I do watch the squirrels gleefully pull the seeds out of them. But yes, it is hard to get squirrel-proof ones. And some people actually feed the squirrels because they like squirrels. So that would probably be attracting more squirrels to your area. Mm-hmm. But there's probably not a lot you can do, honestly, if
get a dog.
Yeah, a dog would help.
Yeah. Dogs help.
People tell me that for the deer in my neighborhood, too. But then I got to pick up the dog poop.
I know.
You know? And I can't compost it.
No.
Yeah, so I would just try to maybe cover your plants at least, you know, while they're making their nest. Because once they're finished making their nest, they don't want your leaves anymore.
What time of year is that?
That is probably going to be in spring, because that's when they're going to start having their babies. Probably as soon as the leaves come out, really. So you're going to want to keep on top of that, and you can just get the bird netting. I don't know if, Charlie, you've got other ideas.
You're right. It's all about mechanical sort of barriers.
Yes, barriers.
Yeah, I put screens around my hyacinths when they're coming through the ground.
Yeah. Yes.
They'll, you know, eat the dew, shoots right off.
Of course. They're very acrobatic squirrels.
Even dry roses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roots, leaves, and flowers.
It is hard to dissuade them, unfortunately. It's like my deer problem, you know. You try to get around, they're going to get something, but if you can keep them away from the plants that you love the most, you know, then I think you're one step ahead.
Do you think it could be from my good soil that I put compost in there?
Probably not, no.
No, just healthy plants come from good soil.
Yeah, I would not stop putting compost in your soil. Definitely. Keep going.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's great. And that's good.
Some
question.
People believe in blood meal and bone meal, particularly blood meal, as a way to, because the squirrels smell it.
Yes.
They've never seen a cow before, but they know it's from some big animal, and it scares them for a while.
Yeah. But you have to do it every time
that's right.
Rains.
That's right.
And it adds a lot of nitrogen to your soil then, too. I find in the vegetable garden, if I do that, then I'm getting lots of green growth, but no flowers.
Right.
Yeah. And if there's different things you can shake around. I just don't find them that effective.
No, not in the long term.
And they're expensive.
Yep.
You know. And if they're not eating, if they're eating your roses or your leaves or something, then you could spray on like an organic, you know, bad tasting deterrent, which I find works for deer. But, you know, it's not going to do a lot if they're just gathering leaves for a nest.
Right.
Because they're not eating them. Right. Yeah.
Imagine gathering rose leaves for a nest.
No, thank
Sounds
you.
Sounds nice to me, actually.
Maybe the rose petals.
Thanks so much, Sheila.
Thank
Good luck
you.
With that.
And you know, ladies.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, and it's engendered a call from Guelph from Bertha we'll get to in just a moment, because she might have a remedy to the squirrel problem. Aha!
Bring it on.
Stand by. Yeah. The bulletin is about to fly through the airwaves here in moments, right after these words on The Garden Show from AM 740.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than we do realize. And should little creatures become a big problem, well, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Well, moments ago we were talking to Sheila in Burlington. She had a real squirrel problem, and all our eyes lit up because Bertha has called in from Guelph with maybe a solution. Hi, and welcome to the show, Bertha.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good.
Morning.
Okay, for a while ago I had a problem with squirrels, and I did call you people, and I used the baby powder to sprinkle around because they were eating my tulips.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a new remedy is safflower seeds. They do not like safflower seeds.
Really?
I found they sniff at them and they just run.
Really?
So scattering those around on the surface of the soil.
Yeah, and I put them, like I do feed the birds with that seed that I had, the bird feeders.
Mm.
And they won't go in near my bird feeders.
Huh, interesting.
I
was told this secret and whatever you want to call it, and it works for me.
Wow.
And where do you buy them from, like a bulk store?
In the bulk store.
Yep.
Like, I don't pay a lot of money. I can buy them by bulk.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the certain birds will eat the seeds, but the squirrels will not.
They don't like the smell.
No, they don't.
Try that.
Interesting.
Okay, so she could try that. And like I said, it works for me.
Excellent. So I hope Sheila's still listening and writing that down. Good stuff. Thanks so much, Bertha.
Nice talking to you.
And thanks for calling.
Thanks for the tip. No, that sounds like a really dandy tip, you know?
It does.
Here we've been searching forever.
Done.
Safflower
seed. Problem solved.
We were talking about pellet guns and shotguns.
Yeah.
And, yes.
Dogs.
And you mentioned that you have quite a lot of deer issues where you are.
Yeah. Usually, I think we're on a deer super highway, even my garden. Like, they pass through every day, you know. Every year we see the new ones. And, yeah. So this year I'm actually getting an electric fence. I'm going electric finally. Well, I'm tired of 8-foot-tall fences that don't keep them out.
They just go right over.
They go over. They'll stand there and then just jump right over it. And I've watched them do it. So,
wow.
Yeah, so I'm going electric.
So right now your garden is enclosed in
right
an 8-foot fence.
Not enclosed. They knocked the deer fence down last September. And so I've been, I mean, in wintertime, I've got mini hoop tunnels, mulch, cold frames from all my winter crops. So they're protected in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But soon, of course, I will be planting more and out. I need the electric.
How much acreage do you have? Are we talking
about 1 acre? And my vegetable garden is about just over 2,000 square feet.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a good size. And you feed the family year-round off of that,
Yeah, yeah. Even in, right now, there's 30 different crops still hiding under our season devices, extenders, and things like that. Yeah.
Cool. So the deer fence you're going to put in, it won't be a – oh, sorry, the electric fence.
Yep.
How high will that be?
It'll probably be two strands, one about 18 inches and then probably one at about 3.5 feet.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, it's just enough to dissuade them.
Right.
There is a great design in this new book, actually, for a critter-free garden, but it's got these 2 4-foot fences, that, and it works great. If you can have two fences surrounding your garden,
right.
4 feet each with a separation of 5 feet in the middle, they won't jump the barrier. It's too wide for
them. Mm-hmm.
It's not high, but it's wide.
Yeah.
And then you can grow things in that barrier, too.
Right.
I just don't have the space for that.
For double fencing.
For double fencing.
Not to mention the cost.
Well,
that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That is cool. Let's go over the Canada Blooms info again for folks who maybe have tuned in a little late or whatever.
Well, Canada Blooms is on right now, open right now, open just yesterday. And when did you fly in, Nikki?
I flew in the middle of the snowstorm Wednesday.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was like in the clouds on the runway. It was like, when did that happen? Holy smokes.
So they never closed the runway, the airport or anything?
I believe they've canceled flights as soon as we landed.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, but we were already in the air at that point. So.
Timing was good.
It was good, yeah, exactly.
All right, well, I was lost in the land of construction.
Yes.
I kind of missed all that weather. I know I glanced outside and went, woo, there's a snowstorm. But that was like, whatever. So Canada Blooms opened yesterday. It's open every single day. Opens at 10 in the morning. Closes at 9 at night, except on Sundays. Mm-hmm. It closes at 5. And, of course, there's 3 different stages. One is what they call the Unilock Celebrity Stage. And we share that with the home show. So there's home show speakers, you know, Renault people and that kind of. Bob the Builder was on yesterday. That was pretty
literally?
Wacky.
Literally? Wow, I missed Bob?
Yeah, you missed Bob.
Man.
They were surprised you missed it. It was
Bob.
Really loud. But and then there's Salon 102, and then there's the learning stage. So nonstop programming. Nikki is in Salon 102 today at 1 o'clock.
I can't wait.
Topic of your speech or your presentation?
Groundbreaking food gardens. I'm going to offer a bunch of ideas, even people that have zero land, of what they can do to grow food.
Yes.
Well, there you go. I've got a balcony.
Grow.
Come on, Frank.
All right.
The program.
Yeah.
Get with it, Franklin.
Eat local. That's what it's all about, right?
And I got to say, Canada Blooms astounds me. It's amazing this year. The gardens, like, it's if you're tired of this winter, just walk in, smell the tulips, and you'll just be transported to spring. Instant.
It's a pretty nice space after such a gray and wet and horrible winter because it's colorful, it smells great, it's cool and humid. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of really nice things going on.
Yes.
Our theme this year is wild, exclamation mark, which means there are gardens that take you into the wilds. There's the subarctic garden. There's the forest garden with the waterfalls and really cool stone bridges and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the different interpretations of wild flowers, wild native species in some of the gardens. And it's all over the map in terms of some of the designs. But all of them are quite fun and something you can learn something from all of them.
Definitely.
What I learn from you every year during Canada Blooms is where the wine bars look.
That's good point.
Well, we can tell you that, I'm sure, as well.
That's right in the middle. It's round.
You can't miss it.
I would suggest, though, that you folks who listen to the show on a regular basis, you want to go down to the Canada Blooms and
it's where you'll find me.
You want to meet Charlie. You head to the wine bar.
And when Frank shows up, that's where we hang out, is in the wine bar. Now, what's kind of interesting this year, for the first time, we have little wine carts scattered around the show.
I noticed that.
So that you don't even just have to go to the wine bar to drink. As you're walking around, you can swing by one of those carts and pick up some wine.
Well, sip along the way.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's all about wine and tea, and there's a nice cafe as well.
Yeah, the tea's
wonderful.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm a tea girl.
Yeah.
One last time to plug your book. The name is?
The new book is Groundbreaking Food Gardens.
Where is it available?
Pretty much everywhere. Yeah, it's just come out, so it's just arriving in bookstores as we speak.
And then, isn't that great?
Yeah, my first one the year round, Vegetable Gardener, which details all the crazy things I do in my garden. Yeah. It's been available for 2 years now.
Well, Nikki, it's been a pleasure and tons of luck with the book. I know you won't have a problem selling a whole batch of them because it's a great looking book.
And this afternoon, you will be in the Toronto Botanical Gardens signing and selling books at 2 o'clock.
At Canada Blooms. At 2 o'clock. 1 o'clock, I talk, and then 2 o'clock, I'll be book signing.
Excellent.
Yeah, and thank you very much for having me.
Well, thanks so much for coming. Honestly. This has been a lot of fun. Really and thank you, Frank. You're always such a good sous chef.
Well, you are such a great boss.
And he looks fabulous today.
I know. I love
it. Daffodil yellow.
Thank you, darling.
I think you're ready to go play tennis or something.
Yes.
All right. And thank you, James Patrick Dooley, for all your help out there and running the show from the other side of the glass. And Nikki, again, thank you for joining us. Thanks to our great callers. Wouldn't be a show without all the callers.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.